This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Another week goes by and still so many stories coming out from the hostages. Today's hostage story really surrounds foreign workers who got involved in the war around the Gaza area. And in fact, out of those 28 bodies that were originally being held in Gaza at the time of the ceasefire agreement, four of them were foreign workers who were killed either on October the 7th or who were kidnapped to Gaza and were killed subsequent to their kidnapping. Two of them have been returned home. Two of those bodies were returned back to Israel. And then one was returned to Nepal. The funeral, I understand, in Nepal was yesterday. And the body of Thai worker Sontaya, I can't pronounce his surname, so I'll just call him Sontaya. He was murdered in Kibbutz Be'eri. He was working as a foreign worker in agriculture on the kibbutz. And there was a ceremony yesterday at Ben Gurion Airport to send Sontaya's body back to Thailand for burial. And at the airport was Justice Minister Yariv Levin. We also had the Thai ambassador to Israel, many of Sontaya's personal friends from the Thai community, and the representatives from Kibbutz Be'eri, and the chairman of the Israel Farmers Association was also on hand at Ben Gurion Airport yesterday to send Sontaya back to Thailand for burial. He leaves behind a 7-year-old daughter and his mother, who are waiting for him in Thailand to bury him. We understand that Sontaya had actually intended to return to Thailand very, very soon after that October the 7th attack that took place. He had already plans to return to Thailand to buy himself a farm in Thailand. Wow. He came to Israel in order to support his family, to earn some money to send back to Thailand. And he'd already planned to go and buy a farm in Thailand and to continue his agriculture there. Unfortunately, that wasn't to be. And yesterday he was returned to Thailand. There are still the bodies of two foreign workers out of those 13 who still remain in Gaza. One is from Tanzania, one from Thailand. And of course, Israel is working as hard to return their bodies as they are working to return the bodies of Israelis who are still being held in Thailand, in Gaza. And when we say 13 bodies, we mean 11 Israelis and two foreign workers. They are in the count and they're not separate from the Israeli bodies that we're trying to have returned back from Hamas in Gaza. So, yeah, a very sad moment at the airport yesterday. And it's very sad for us that these people come from foreign lands to work here. They dedicate themselves to Israel. They become part of our fabric. They become part of our families. They work in our homes. They work in our fields. People come from the Philippines and come from Thailand and come from China and come from various countries in order to try and earn a living and to support themselves here and send money back for their families. And we take them on. And they become part of our own society. And it's very sad for us when, unfortunately, this fate befalls them.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Vice President, U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance. So he's concluding his stay in Israel. And that was visits Jerusalem, Tel Aviv. But there seems to be some controversy around the fact that yesterday Knesset voted to apply Israeli law to Malei Adumim. What does this mean, and what is the significance of this?
Well, J.D. Vance has been in Israel already for a few days. I've mentioned his visit the last couple of days. Today it's over. He has already met with Prime Minister Netanyahu. He's met with President Herzog. We understand that today he will have meetings, further meetings in Jerusalem. He will also come to military headquarters in Tel Aviv, to what's called the Kiryah in Tel Aviv, which is the military headquarters. He will pay a visit there. I'm assuming that it will be with senior military officials before finally making his way back to Ben Gurion Airport. I can tell you that central Israel today is a traffic nightmare because the entire area between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and the airport has been completely closed off. And the Kiryah in Tel Aviv is very critically located. It's right next to an exit from the Ayalon Highway. People trying to come on and off the highway won't be able to do so in that area. The other major city block in that area is also the Azrieli Center. It's a major landmark right next to the Kiryah. I understand that all of the exits and the entrances to the Azrieli Center are also closed off in order to try to make the area as clear as possible for the U.S. Vice President. So while we are happy that he's been in Israel and he's obviously been trying to reinforce the ceasefire, I think there are many citizens of Tel Aviv, especially, who will be happy to see the back of him and to allow things to get back to traffic normality as soon as possible. But yes, yesterday, the Knesset did take a first vote on the issue of applying Israeli sovereignty to Malei Adumim. And this comes on the back of a number of months ago, some attempts to try to approve construction for an area that's called E1. E1 is an area of land which is about 12 square kilometers in size, and it's an area which connects the city of Jerusalem to Malei Adumim on a sort of east-west axis. So the area of E1 is highly controversial and very, very strategic in its location, because E1 could potentially either connect Jerusalem to Malei Adumim and in so doing separate two areas of the Palestinian Authority, north and south, so that they are no longer contiguous, or alternatively, as it is today, really more part of the Palestinian Authority area, which then allows that contiguity between the north and the south area of the Palestinian Authority, and thereby separating Jerusalem from Malei Adumim. And so the question is, who has control of that piece of land, how strategically important it is, and the fact that E1 may potentially become part of a contiguous block between Jerusalem and Malei Adumim is highly controversial, because it effectively, and some people believe, puts an end to the idea of a Palestinian state, an independent Palestinian state, because it really divides the land up. So E1 in itself is highly controversial. As far as the vote yesterday in the Knesset to apply Israeli law to Malei Adumim, on the one hand, it makes no difference on the ground, which means even though Malei Adumim is not within the borders of the state of Israel as is internationally accepted, Israeli law is still applied to Malei Adumim. And one could argue that maybe it's applied without a proper legal background or legal justification. But practice on the ground is that Israeli law applies there. And anything that is done there is done according to Israeli law, even though it could happen that someone might go to a court and challenge that and might even be successful, because there isn't really a legal basis for applying Israeli law in Malei Adumim, yet that's what happens. And so therefore, this Knesset vote will potentially have no change on the ground because it'll just continue,
what
potentially
already
with a proper
was.
legal basis, but still continue what it is. The problem is, of course, that there is a certain symbolism to this vote. And the symbolism comes in a number of different ways. The first of which is that the US administration has said quite clearly that taking action like this is unhelpful and could potentially damage the ceasefire agreement with Gaza. That's President Trump's official view. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who is on his way to Israel as we speak, so he will come in pretty much as J.D. Vance is leaving. There is a continuous role of U.S. officials coming to Israel. But Marco Rubio, who is known to be very, very supportive of Israel and very supportive of Israel's desires to extend its rule as much as possible and has been supportive of Trump recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And we know that President Trump has moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem in order to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital according to U.S. Recognition. So the current U.S. administration, even though much of this work was done when Trump was president the previous time, but the current administration is known to be supportive of Israel's desires to strengthen its case and to change facts on the ground. And yet, on this occasion, the U.S. administration is saying taking this vote is not helpful and is indeed undesirable. President Trump is actually against the idea of trying this at this particular moment. And yet the Knesset yesterday decided to take the vote, and the vote actually succeeded, even though Prime Minister Netanyahu and his coalition were of the view to oppose the vote. And the official position of the Likud and the prime minister and the position that he tried to impose on members of his coalition is not to allow this vote to go through at this time. And we know in politics that timing is everything. And I just wonder what viewers and listeners think about the timing of this, because on the one hand, you could say, look, while we are trying to implement a ceasefire in Gaza, taking any action that could damage that seems undesirable and not logical. On the other hand, the current state of play, where the Palestinian factions have been so significantly weakened on the ground, means that there is a potential opportunity to do things that under other different circumstances would never have been tolerated or allowed and could potentially have caused an outbreak in violence or could have potentially led to quite significant consequences. And yet, under the current circumstances, it's kind of very quiet because we'll just agree to it and it'll roll on and nobody really will stand up and do anything. So there is an interesting question as to whether this is desirable at all, whether we should be officially saying Maale Adumim needs to be part of Israel and under Israeli law. I think we should, because it is a city. It is just, it's not just a settlement of 10, 20, 30 people. This is a city of a significant proportion, and that under any constellation, I could never see Maale Adumim not forming part of Israel. I couldn't see that happening. There would need to be land exchanges. There would need to be some agreement. But I think that Maale Adumim is one of those places, even though it currently exists in Area C, as were defined by the Oslo Accords, I think that Maale Adumim will always be part of Israel. And therefore, applying Israeli law seems logical. Having said that, I just wonder whether the timing is right. And in particular, if we're going to antagonize the U.S. administration, who clearly have a contrary view right now, how sensible is that? So I just leave that as a question, because I'm not sure that the timing of this vote is ideal.
Very, very interesting. I'd love your thoughts. 0618951019. We've only got really a few more minutes, but I just do want to ask you about the concerns that there are around Hamas making it clear that they have no intention of disarming. How's this being viewed?
Well, the Hamas leadership seemed to take every possible opportunity to say, we will not give up our arms. So they say it by saying, well, if we give up our arms, we will only give up our arms to a Palestinian state. In other words, if a Palestinian state is established in Gaza, then we would potentially give up our arms to them. But I think between the lines we have to read that if a Palestinian state was established in Gaza, that Hamas would somehow have significant, maybe not control, but at least significant influence over what goes on. And therefore, it wouldn't really be giving up their arms to somebody else. It would kind of just be giving up their arms to themselves in a way of speaking. So they are making it very, very clear that they will not give up their arms, and certainly not to some sort of an international body that will potentially rule over Gaza. They will certainly not agree to that. And that is one of the significant points in the Trump 20-point plan that involves the ceasefire in Gaza. So we've seen already, even though we haven't even progressed to stage two, but we seem to have a major standoff on one of the critical points of stage two. The other critical point is, of course, that Hamas won't be part of the leadership of Gaza going forward, which they have also stood up and said is unlikely to happen because they intend to be there and they intend to remain armed. So the U.S. administration is playing all of this down right now in the interest of just keeping the ceasefire rolling. J.D. Vance, in some of the statements that he said over the last few days, has said he believes the ceasefire will continue and will be respected. And they believe, and they really want to believe, that the ceasefire will continue. But this is a critical point. The Israeli government haven't made a major issue of it right now, but I can see an explosion down the road coming along where Israel's going to stand up and say, this is really one of the critical points. Hamas have no intention of honoring it. We can't move forward from here.
Absolutely. It's going to be fascinating to see. It is 8:01. Anthony Rock, thank you. Thank you for, I can't believe it's been now a full week of reporting, our first full week back. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you on Monday morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.